The text I have is Jesus as our great high priest in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I don't think this is going to be like a train on a track. This might be more like a paper airplane, a bad one that goes like that. But when Isaac asked me to just share my thoughts on this, I really latched on to this word touched. And I think Ryan kind of started to blaze a trail here. Jesus as a high priest, the work of the priest is an intercessory work. And that simply means, so think about, you have two things that have a great distance between them. There needs to be something that communicates or works between them to bring them together. But how can someone do that job without relating to the two things that he is interceding for? And this is the massive divide, the glorious thing of sinners that are low, like Ryan spoke of, and then the God that is very high. The one, like he mentioned in 1 John, says, by him, were all things made, and there wasn't anything made that was not made by him. Forgive my misquoting of that. So I latched onto this word touched, and a full disclaimer, I ask that you be gracious with me. I don't want to be guilty of twisting a text to fit kind of what I want to say about it. But I think these things do relate. That phrase, cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, comes from the Greek word sympatheo, which is obviously where we get our word sympathy from. In fact, a lot of Bible translations just use the word sympathy right there. And I don't know, I haven't had time to figure it out, what it was about that word that the King James translators translated into that phrase, but that really stood out to me. And so I started looking into this word touched. Our God is a touching God. So it's amazing to think about, well, first, the double negative. So I called my pastor hotline in Arkansas. Andrew did confirm. the repeating negatives is for emphasis. But let's just phrase it this way. God is touched by our infirmities. Often you see something that moves you. We use that phrase a lot, right? Oh, that just touched me. There's something a little bit more closer, a little bit more intimate about this. And so I won't flip to all of these for time's sake, but Jesus is a very touching God. Jesus can already relate to you in that Jesus became you. Jesus became a human. And Brother Zach has unpacked that how the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And God did not come as this magnificent PR stunt where the angels are filming and he's going to go the whole nine yards. He's going to even wear the clothes and he's going to be the human. God wasn't walking around. Jesus wasn't walking around lightly thinking, man, I can't just wait for that glorious cloud to come so I can get out of here. Jesus got in the trenches. And the reason, a couple of places Jesus touches, or people touch Jesus. And just go with me on this. The airplane just kind of zinged off here. Peter's mother was the first one I saw. Peter's mother is sick. If the limited corpse isn't enough, you have sin, and then you have like sickness, which is sin really at work. And Jesus heals her, but Jesus touches her to heal her. You have the leper who, and leprosy is like the epitome of decay and sin and rot and corruptness. And it's incredibly contagious. And the leper says, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. And Jesus says, yeah, I can. You know, you're right. But Jesus reaches out and touches the leper and heals him. Why would Jesus do this? I woke up, so I'm a dad now for about 2 weeks from this morning, and I will wake this kid up to hold him, right? The reason Jesus touches sinners is because he loves sinners. Jesus likes to get his hands on sinners. And this is the beautiful picture of the gospel, right? Jesus loves sinners. Jesus does not want to stand at arm's length from those that he loves. Jesus wants to make an impression. Jesus will touch sinners. So I know that's a physical connection, but even the other way around, you think about the woman with the issue of blood, desperate. She had spent she had exhausted her resources and failed with physicians. And the issue of blood, I think, is like issuing forth of blood, you know, because when it's healed, it was dried up. This is really messed up, you know. And her desire was this, was to touch Jesus. And when she touches Jesus, he says, virtue has gone out of me. And I hope you can see this. There's this back and forth. There's this personal relationship that Jesus has with his people. And that's what I'm trying to get at here. And so in the same way, I think our infirmities are not just something that Jesus sees and is moved by. But our infirmities, they connect with Jesus. Jesus is moved by them. He is touched by them. He's a very personal Savior. And the exhortation is after that. I hope that makes sense. Let me just read 14 through 16, because there's something to do now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and find grace to help in time of need. Let's just pray together. Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, for your intercessory work for us. Lord, we are so thankful that you loved us enough that you became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, that you like Jacob's ladder, Lord, have connected that great divide between lowly sinners and our God. Lord, we pray that we would believe. Lord, I've often this verse is quoted to prove that Christ understands what we're going through, Lord. And sometimes I want to just do a checklist and make sure that he does. And that can be difficult when we're separated by thousands of years. Things look differently now. But Lord, I believe it's true because this verse says it's true. Lord, help us to believe that and help us to obey then the command to come boldly to you, Lord, with our infirmities, with our weaknesses. And Lord, we trust that we will find grace and help through your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.